Father, I love you. Thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you for just allowing us to get into a new year. Lord, every day that we wake up is a blessing from you. And Lord, I pray that we don't take any of that for granted, Lord. I pray that we're just grateful every day that you just allow us to be a part of what you're doing. Thank you for the Passpoint class, just a group of people who are serious about getting the word where it needs to go on time, just being serious about personal growth and all the things that go into that, Lord. I pray for those who are in the ministry this morning, just kind of looking around the room. It's full, but there's so many more people that I could, you know, I know that they're working in the ministry and different things going on. And so, Lord, I just pray that you just continue to grow us this year, not because we want large numbers, but because we want depth in your word. Lord, I pray that you get the glory from everything that we're going to do. I pray that today, as we kind of look into what our vision is for, you know, this year as a group here, that you would allow me to articulate that well. And so, Lord, you've laid a lot of things on my heart, so I pray that they come across well to everyone else and that we can just get behind it as a class. So, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us today. Put me out of the way in Christ's name. Amen. Let me move this thing up. I think it's too low. Okay, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 34. We'll get there here in just a little bit. We'll be back to the book of Acts next week. We're going to keep pushing through Acts. It's kind of been a transition. The book itself is a transitional book, but we're going to transition into kind of the second part of it starting next week, and we're going to be full steam ahead. If you guys know anything about me, I don't like to sit on my heels. We're always pressing forward. We're always going. We're always doing. And so that today's no different, but I want to kind of, I'm glad that the room is pretty full today. First Chronicle, or Second Chronicles, chapter 34. Sorry, that's my bad.
Chapter 34.
Yeah, we'll get there. I'm kind of glad the room is full this morning, and not because I like the class to be full. I mean, I do, but it really has nothing to do with that. We're going to talk about where we're going this year as a class, and so believe it or not, as though it may seem this way a lot of times, I do have vision of where we're going as a class. The Passpoint class, I talked about this a little bit last week, but if you got everybody together, you're looking at 50-ish people. And then you start talking about, you know, kids with that, you're talking about 75, 80 people. It's a good chunk of the church. And so we take it seriously. When I say we, Paige and I, on what God is really where he's taken us. And so, obviously I try to take what the church as a whole is doing and how do we as a class kind of fall into that and grow together. And so I don't have a ton of time today, but I want to let you know where we're going. And then, you know, we probably won't talk much about it because, you know, if you'll remember from years past, you know, I kind of tell you where we're, what the theme is and what we're doing, and then it's full steam ahead. You know, it's ministry and it's, you know, events and, you know, it's what we're teaching through in the book of Acts. And, you know, I just kind of let the Word of God, do what it does. And, you know, I teach what's on the page and I try not to veer too far from it. But, I do want to kind of let you know this is what God has showed me as far as where we're going. And if you want to buy into it, that's great. And if you don't, I mean, that's on you. I can't tell anybody to do anything, but I do believe that this is God's vision for the Passpoint class. So if you're a part of that, then that's awesome. This is where we're going, one way or another. So anyway, 2025 was a great year, and we talked about that last week, and I told you we're not going to talk about it anymore. You know, the victories were awesome. If you want to reminisce, go back and listen to it, because now we're pressing forward, because that's what we do here. But in 2025, as a class, the theme of the class, and it was actually 24's theme as well, was everyone be, right? Be what it is that God has called you to be, right? Or in a little more practical terms, do what it is that God told you to do. Don't try to do more. Don't try to do less. Don't try to, you know, find a gray area. Just ask God, what is it that you want me to do personally? And do it. Stop trying to carry all the load. Stop trying to not carry any of the load. And just say, God, what is it that you want me to do? And for 2 years, that's really been the theme of just be serious, seek God's face, and say, what is it that you want me to do? right? And it, whether it's a personal growth step, whether it's a ministry step, whether it's, you know, some sort of a getting trained up type of step, whatever that is. And we talked last week, I think as a whole, the class really bought into that. We're busy. You know, Brian's going to talk today about the theme of HBF as a whole moving forward, and, you know, not to let the cat out of the bag, but the theme for HBF moving forward is sow, right? It's to sow the seed, right? And so that's, you'll hear all about that from Brian. But anyway, the reason I bring it up is because what does that have to do with us, right? As a Passpoint class, because what we do isn't independent of HBF, and we need to make sure as a class that we don't ever become that. We are with what the church is doing, right? Everything that we do supports what Brian is doing, and that's what we do as a class. All the ministries here, we all support one common thing, and so we need to be moving forward. If you ever get to a point where one class is trying to just go its own way, that's where you end up with some sort of a church split or anything else, and you know, that's not what we're doing. I want to support what Brian's doing wholeheartedly no matter what. So, but what does it mean to sow? When somebody says, you know, the theme is to sow, what does that mean?
Pedal to the metal.
Pedal to the metal. What did somebody else say? Cultivate. To plant. Right. Yes. I expected the answer to be to plant, which you're correct. But yes, you're also right as far as, you know, preparing to cultivate, to do those things. You know, a lot of times when we think about sowing, we think about planting the seed. You know, we're talking about sowing the seed, getting the word where it needs to go. You know, you think about, you know, farmers. We live in a farming community for the most part, and, you know, we're talking about planting the seed, right? But so what does that mean? You know, it's more than just putting a seed in the ground. You got to prepare the ground. You know, Doug's getting ready to plant corn at our place this coming spring. But, you know, he didn't just take the beans out and then kick back, right? He'd been out there, like, putting anhydrous on the field, and there's somebody out there spreading something else on the field the other day. They're doing all kinds of things, and there's nothing getting planted yet, right? Why? Because they're preparing the field for what's going to come. Well before you ever put the seed in the ground, and then even after that, you can put the seed in the ground, and if you're not praying for rain, I promise the anhydrous didn't do you much, right? All those things. It's, you have to pray that God brings the increase. And so when we talk about sowing, we're talking about preparing and planting and praying for results. And so talking about praying, I personally have been praying and asking God what the theme sow at HBF has to do with us in Passpoint. Because we're with this theme of, you know, everybody doing what it is that God told you to do. And so what does that have to do with us? You know, sow what? For the last 2 years, we've been focused on doing what God told us to do, but, you know, we're a pretty busy class. I look around and there are not many people that aren't tired, right? Ministry is a lot, and God's entrusting us with a lot. And, you know, to add one more thing to that almost seems overbearing. You know, we're a busy class. We're in the ministry. We're discipling. We're taking the right steps. We're doing the things that we think are the good or the right things. You know, whatever it is that we think God is telling us to do. And, you know, I've prayed and asked God, so what are we supposed to be sowing? And every time that I kind of just ask God, like, how does this tie together? You know, what is it that we're supposed to be? It's been the same passage every time. God just brings it to me. And so this is where we're at. If you're in your Bible, go to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. There's a parallel passage of this. I don't have time to compare them. In 2 Kings chapter 22, it's basically the same story, just in a few different words. But anyway, I just kind of want to read through this. And it's going to sound more like a devotional thought as I go through it, because I'm just going to kind of read and tell you what God has put on my heart, where we're at as a class, and then we'll kind of wrap it up all at the end. And so let's just jump into it, because the word's where it needs to happen. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, it says, moreover, I'm sorry, that's chapter 35. Josiah. So this is the book about the different kings of Israel. And so, you know, Josiah is the next king in line. And so anyway, they're just telling the story of Josiah. It says he was 8 years old when he began to reign. Pretty young, right? And, you know, we'd be like, well, what does this mean? And okay, all the different things. You know, anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm not even going to say that. You know, you could add 10, 20, even 30 years to that, and I don't know that you'd be ready for something like this. But anyway, don't focus so much on his age, but just what he did. It says, he was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, you might think, okay, well, that's cool. Well, if you read much of Chronicles or Kings, you would find out that there's not a whole lot of guys that did do right. Most of them have a lot of different synonyms for not good when you read about what they did. And so the fact that it says that he did right should perk your interest, okay? It says he did right and walked in the ways of his David, his father. And obviously David wasn't his direct father, but anyway. And declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For, and here's some of the things that he did. For in the eighth year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Baal in his presence and the images that were high above them and cut down the groves and carved images and molten images. And he break in pieces and he made dust of them and strode upon them the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon the altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even in Naphtali with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves and he had beaten the graven images into powder and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. And let me just tell you, like, this is, as I'm reading through this, as God keeps bringing me back here, I'm thinking of the past point class, right? And so, well, we all typically come from one of two places. We come from a background where you didn't grow up in a church-type family at all, and you got saved, and now you decide, I want to live for the Lord, right? You find yourself where Josiah was. You never knew right, and so you only knew what was wrong, and you knew it was wrong. And so when you got saved, day after day, you tell yourself, I don't want to go back to that. I know what I don't want to live like, right? I can tell you stories of when I was lost, and I know what I don't want to live like. And so I want to do that was right in the Lord. So you either fall in that boat, or you fall in the boat of maybe you grew up in a quote-unquote churched family, but you've got things that you're like, well, I know I don't want to do things like that, right? Sometimes, you know, maybe you had the perfect set of Christian parents and praise the Lord, if that was the case. But a lot of times that's not the case. A lot of times you find yourself in a situation where, yeah, they were quote unquote Christians, but man, they didn't really do it right. And so if I'm going to do this Christianity thing, I'm going to do it according to God. And so either way, I feel like as I look across the class and as I pray over the class, individuals, we all find ourselves in one of those two boats where it's like, I just want to do what's right. And whether I know exactly what that looks like, I just want to do what's right. And, you know, I think back over the last 2 years and we've just been asking God, what is it that you want me to do? How can I grow? How can I do the next thing? That's all Josiah was doing. God, I want to do the right things. I want to go and strive and be more like you. And so that's what he's doing early on in his life. He's just doing the same thing that we do early on in our Christian life, right? We just want to do the right things. We want to grow in the Lord the best we can. We want to do those things. Verse 8, he says, now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, I don't know how you say it, the son of Azaliah and Meziah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. So a lot of people will stop at verse 7. I want to do the right godly things. And they spend their entire Christian life just trying to do the right godly things outwardly. I want to do the right godly things outwardly. I want to just look like I'm playing the part and even feel it most of the time, right? Most Christians don't ever get to verse 8 where they actually want to repair the temple. Now we understand in the New Testament, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. When we get saved, the Lord Jesus Christ indwells us. So now your body is not the temple, you know, like they had in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ indwells in you. Most Christians don't ever get to the point where they're like, oh, I actually have to change a little bit. I just don't need to go and do some right thing, you know, come to church and, you know, just do it. No, you actually have to inwardly focus and say, what about the temple? We've done a lot of cool things. You know, we've burned up the images of Baal and all these things. But what about the temple? Most Christians never get to the point where they want to address the heart issues and look inside the temple. And that's what Josiah wants to do. He's like, okay, now we've got rid of the outward things. Now what about the temple? Let's clean this thing up. Right? And so that's what he does. He sends people in and he's like, so now in Jerusalem, we're going to go into the temple. We're going to clean this thing up and get it back to what it needs to be. Right? And so same thing as a class. That's what we have to do. We've got to inwardly focus, right, on what is it that God is telling me on my house. And so let's fast forward because I don't have time to read the whole thing. So they go into the temple. They're pulling out all of the the things that are worthwhile from the temple. They're pulling all the different monies and, you know, the gold coins and all the different things, and they're bringing these back to the king. They're cleaning this thing up. And then in, you know, in verse 14, let's pick up there. That's what they're doing. They're going, they're cleaning up the temple. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And if you stopped right there, you'd be like, okay, you found a book in the temple. That seems, that's like, you found a book in the library. Cool. Right? I mean, wouldn't you expect that? Well, it's a little bigger than that. In verse 15, and Hilkiah answered and said, Shephatiah the scribe, I have found, not a book, but he says, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And he actually did something with it. Because a lot of times we know that we've got the book in our hands, but we don't do anything with it. We have the book. We bring it to church. We read it every now and then, knowing all along that we have the book. But we don't do anything with it. He says, I have found the book of the law of the house of the Lord. And he says he delivered the book. He took it and he gave it to someone, to Shaphan. And Shaphan, he did something with it as well. Because that's what discipleship looks like. Somebody gives it to you and you don't just keep it and drop it. You take it and you give it to somebody else. That's the only way that this church thing, this Christianity thing, this discipleship thing, this Jesus thing ever is going to do anything, is if we take it and give it to somebody. Because if all you have is it yourself, good for you. I mean, I guess it's great that you've got your get into heaven free ticket. Praise the Lord. Do something with it now. Right? Because if that's all that it was about, you might as well go now. The fact that you're here and you're still breathing tells me that you need to be doing something with it. Take it and give it to somebody. He says he carried the book to the king and brought it to the king word again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, you know, we did it. Think about the last year or two. We've been asking the Lord, God, what do you want us to do? And I think overall, the class overall, and I keep saying overall because I do feel like there are people that need to grow. And if you know, you know. But overall, the class has really strove to do the things that God has asked him to do. And that's what he says. He goes back and he's like, hey, the things that you told me to do, I did it. You know, last week we were talking about, you know, God, in 2025, the things you told us to do, we did it. I think we really did. But we can't stop there. We talked about that last week. He says, we did it. Thy servants, they do it. And they've gathered, verse 17, together the money that was found in the house of the Lord and delivered it into the hand of the overseers, into the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan, the scribe, told the king, saying, there was also something else. He says, Hilkiah, the priest, he gave me a book. And he read it before the king. And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes. It means he was broken. He heard the words of the law and he realized, 1 + 1 isn't equaling 2 right now. I know the way that my father and his father and his father, I know what they were living, and I know that this law says if we don't live a certain way, this is going to happen. And 2 isn't equaling 4 because they weren't living according to this, and it said this was going to happen. And that means that we've got some bad news bears coming our way real quick because I believe this book, right? And basically that's what he's convicted because he's like, just because I'm doing the right thing, we weren't before, and we've got judgment coming our way. That's what he's saying. And then he goes, and basically he's, in verse 21, he says, go inquire the Lord for me. He sends him to, you know, one of the seers, and he's like, go ask the Lord, what do we need to do with this, right? And so they do, they go, and, you know, they find out that, yeah, you're exactly right, Josiah. There's judgment coming, but because you have chosen to live right, you know, I'll spare you. And that's basically the long and the short of that part of it. You know, he says, I'll spare you, and you won't have to see the judgment that comes on the people, okay? Well, that's all good and dandy. But then in verse 29, then the king sent. He could have just left it there. Okay, good. My life's good. Now, I'm not going to see the judgment. Let's just roll with it. But no. When this book actually changes you, it has nothing to do with what it did to you. It now has everything to do with, I've got to let everybody else know. Like, when the book actually changes your life, you realize that it had nothing to do with me in the first place. You realize that now it has to do with everything with how can I get this to somebody else? Right? He realized that, hey, judgment's not coming on me. And he could have just kicked his feet up. But what's he do? In verse 29, it says, he sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord and the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. What did he do? He read the book in their ears. All the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord. You know, it's one thing to say, yeah, I want to do something this year. But you know, if it doesn't work out, there's always next year. You know, and I'm just throwing that out there because it's the beginning of the year. People are making New Year's resolutions. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to read the Bible. It's one thing to say, yeah, I'm going to do it. Okay, awesome. But it's another thing to stand up in front of a group of people and say, hold me accountable to it. Right? It's another thing to say, well, you know, if it doesn't work out, if it doesn't work out, I need you to call me out. And that's what he does. He says he stood up in the place and he made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments and and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart, with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. He could have done that before he invited everybody over. But he did it in front of everybody. Because you know what? When you stand up in front of everybody, when you stand up in front of a group of people and you say, here's my covenant to the Lord this year. I'm going to do this. And if I don't, hold me accountable. Now, the good news is accountability in our day and age doesn't look like, well, you're getting stoned to death, right? Accountability is just, hey, how can I get you back on track? What can I do to help? How can I pray for you? Right? What can I do to just help you out? That's why we do the things that we do here. It's not because I want to know when people are not reading. It's because I want to know what can I do to help you get back on track. Because being in the Word of God is the most important thing that we can do as a class. I don't care how many ministries we're involved in. If we're not like bought in to the book daily, who cares? I would rather every ministry be starving for people and us be in the book than it be the other way around. And I'm serious about that. Right? And he just lays it out there. Right? He says, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're not going to live the way that they used to. And I know that there's probably something coming, but at least while I'm here, while I'm breathing, while I have any influence on people, this is what we're going to do. Hold me accountable and I'll hold you accountable. That's basically what he says. Right? And so, here's what I know. And I don't mean to step on people's toes and I don't mean to puff people up. But it is what it is. And the last year, we decided we were going to try to do a reading plan. And I'm totally cool with people not doing a reading plan with the class. I don't care what you do. Right? I pray that you grow in whatever you're doing. That's my goal. If you're not going to do the reading plan that we're doing, awesome. Maybe let me know what you're doing so I can pray for you in that. Okay? But anyway, there are more people than you would believe. You're right on time, man. There are more people than you would believe. And I personally know this because I've talked to them. That actually read through the entire Bible for the first time last year. People that have been around this church for quite a while. And you might be like, what? No, they read a lot about the Bible, different places in the Bible, but with some sort of a strategic plan and something to hold on to, you know what they did? They actually did it. And interestingly enough, and this is just my observation from the outside looking in, it's those people that I know that actually took the step to get all the way through it. I've seen more spiritual growth in those people than I have maybe others. Not that other people weren't maybe growing or I don't know, but I've seen massive leaps and bounds of spiritual growth in people that actually did it. And so there's benefit in being in the book every day. Like, you have to. If you're not, it's not changing you. Right? You can't, you can be natural at shooting a basketball. Okay? I mean, you can. But I promise, you gotta be at the hoop nearly daily. Because just because you're natural at something doesn't mean it's, you know, it takes repetition. It takes getting in there. You know, and so what does that mean practically? So that's the passage God's laid on my heart, right? Because yeah, there are some people that made it through the first time this year. Praise the Lord. And I'll also say this. There are other people that said, oh yeah, I'm going to do it, and they quit. And in the past, here's what I would have said. Yeah, life happens. I get it. Right? And I've always made an excuse for people. Yeah, life happens. I get it. We get busy. We get behind. And I'm not making excuses for anybody. Get in the book. Make time to be in the book. Life happens. You're right. Make the book happen too. I don't know. I'm convicted because I've been the one who like gives the people who are kind of marginal an out. Yeah, I get it. Life happens. I do. I totally get it. Life happens. Life's not going to stop happening day after day after day after day. Make the book a part of it. The devil's going to throw stuff at you. Make this better. Like, you can do it because I've seen people do it. So, I don't know. I hope I'm not, I don't know. Maybe I am. So what does this look like practically in 2026? Right? What does this look like as we move forward as a class? I've got like 6 minutes left. It's actually a little bit more. The clock's fast. We, as a class, need to sow the word. We're talking about how do we tie into sow. We got to sow the word. And when we hear that, what most people think, yeah, you're right. I need to get the word of God into other people. Yes, but you got to sow the word in first. Because if you're not sowing the word in, you've got no business sowing it out. If you're not putting this book in, I personally would prefer you not sow it out. Because you probably don't know what you're talking about. You just know the highlights. And I don't know, that'd probably get me in trouble for saying that, but I'm just saying. Like, you sow it in, it's gotta go in. Because the more it goes in, the more you start to realize that that ties into this and that ties into that. And you're like, wow, I can actually explain this now where I never could before. Sow it in. Now, that doesn't mean don't go evangelize, right? Especially if you're a new Christian, I'm not giving you an out. But what I'm saying is put the book in. As a class, we've got to sow the word in our hearts. We've been doing a lot. Everybody do what it is that God called you to do. Keep doing those things, but don't get so caught up in the things that you've done that you forget to put this in every day, every single day. And yes, once you're putting it, you're sowing the word into yourself, yeah, take it to other places. So what are we doing practically? It's not a lot different than what we've done in the past. If it was up to me, I would have done the same reading plan that we did last year because I like it personally. That's the one that I've done for the past 4 or 5 years in a row. I honestly like that reading plan. But I was asking the Lord, hey, should we do something different? And I had multiple different people ask me about one specific plan. So I thought, okay, God, I hear what you're saying. Just because I like something doesn't mean that everybody else is going to like it. So we're going to try a different reading plan this year. I sent you guys a text the other day, mostly just so you can kind of be aware of it. Here's the lowdown on it. We're going to read through the Bible in a year as a class. If you're going to do a different plan, that's great. I like the fact that as a class, most of us are reading the same thing because it brings up conversation. I don't know how many times just in daily conversation with Chris, it's brought up about what we were reading. And I'm like, that's just really cool because we're all reading the same thing. Right? And so anyway, I like that. You can do your own plan. Great. Read the book. Put it in. But if you're somebody that's like, no, I really want to read the same things because inevitably, I reference it when I'm teaching, right? It's just thing, and so you're just tracking with all of it, okay? So if you're gonna do it, you're gonna do it. What we're using this year is, let me see that book page. It's called, 52 Weeks of Pursuit, right? This is a big book. But it's really, here's how it lays out. If you wanna look at it, you can. It's laid out a lot like the book from last year. We didn't have a book last year. Last year it was just a reading plan. We read 5 days a week. It gave you a couple extra days if you missed a day or, if you're somebody like me who is studying to teach and different things, it helps me with that. This book is laid out almost identical to that. Once you get towards the end, there's a couple weeks that have 6 days, but that's okay. It's still not seven. I don't think there's any of them that there's 7 days a week. So anyway, but what I like about this is, so here, let me just flip it open. Week 15, day one. Today's reading. 2 Samuel 9 through 12. 9, 10, 11, 12. That's four chapters. That's less than what we were reading last year most of the time. I flipped through this book quite a little bit. And in the Old Testament, minus Psalms, you're reading 5 chapters at the most, I think, a day. Now, when you get into Psalms, you're not going to get 5 chapters of Psalms because that might take you half a page, right? And so it works out. The goal is to get through the entire Bible in a year. So it tells you today's reading. And then after that, it gives you an overview of what you just read. highlights of what you just read, because I don't know if you're like me. I've been saved for, 17, 18 years, and there's still times that I read, and I'm like, I hope I understand it next time I read it. Right? Because this time it just didn't really get there. Right? This kind of helps you. Hey, this is what you just read. It kind of just breaks it down and shows you a little bit. And it kind of goes through. So, I know, you're like, this is a big book. How am I going to read that? Week 15, day 1. It's this and part of this. You can't do that daily. Chris did this book last year.
I just use it as a supplement for our class reading. It's really good.
Yeah.
Don't be intimidated by the size of the book. It's pretty easy.
Yeah. Very, very. Most of it's a page and a tiny little bit. So as far as that. So anyway, this is the book. If you don't want to use the book, that's fine. The book is just a tool to help you understand what you just read. Okay? And so I like the idea. I have my fears about this plan because it reads from Genesis to Revelation. So there's going to be a time when we're in Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. That's okay. God wrote that book in that order for a reason. And you know what? Here's what I would encourage you. If you're somebody that's like, man, if I don't get some New Testament, I'm going to starve. Feel free to supplement some New Testament in with your reading on your own. Read a New Testament chapter. I'm just saying. You can do that. So anyway, that's what we're going to do. We're going to read through it. Mark Trotter, most of you heard Mark Trotter preach years ago. He got cancer and passed away. Mark's really funny. He writes very funny. So it's very lighthearted. So it'll be good. And another cool thing is, his wife Sherry's teaching the marriage conference or the ladies conference just later this month. So anyway, that's what we're going to do as a class. If you want in on it, that's great. If you don't, whatever. I read something, okay? Really, read something. So the last thing I want to get into is the reading groups. Because sometimes we just don't really know what that means, and we're like, I don't really like accountability. Okay, they're small groups. I get it. I don't like accountability either. Most of us don't. The groups look like this. It's usually 3-ish people in a group. What we did last year is we basically just set up a text group. In my group, very seldom would somebody be like, hey, typically this is what I would do. Week 50, day 2, check mark. That was all it was. Or whatever day. That's what it was. Every now and then, if I read something that was just really cool, I would give like a paragraph. Thought it was cool when David did this. You know, hope I can put that in my life. It's just to encourage the people that I'm reading with. It doesn't have to be like this big page long thing. You don't ever have to say anything. The goal is just to show people, hey, I'm reading. Because when inevitably you got somebody in the group that quote unquote life happens and they get behind, you know, you can just after a week or two and it's like, hey, I haven't heard anything from them. Hey, what's up, man? You know, everything good? Can I pray for you? You know, there was a person in our group. I was in our group at one point and got a week behind. There was a person in our group last year that got a couple weeks behind. And you know what? Through accountability and just being like, hey, man, praying for you. Anything we can, you know, it's nothing other than that. What'd they do? They pressed through. They got caught up and praised the Lord. And I honestly think I can speak for them. I don't know that they would have without accountability. Because it's just easy to be like, you know what, I'll just pick up next year. The reason that we do the accountability thing is just to be like, you're right. You're exactly right. I need to. You need to be like Josiah was and say, you know what? It's the beginning of the year and I'm going to stand up and say I'm going to do this in front of some people. Because I know in July it might be harder. The sun's shining. The golf course is open and the lake's open, right? I'll catch up later. No, hold me accountable even in those times, right? And so that's the whole point. If you want in on the accountability groups, just let us know. Text us. We're going to set those up later today because we're going to start the reading plan tomorrow. If you need a book, you can order it on Amazon. It comes in a few days. If you need a book, she told me that there were going to be some last week that she had ordered in the connections counter. They were supposed to be in. I don't know if they're in or not. If you need one, let me know. I'll get you one. But either way, that's what we're doing. The purpose is just to be accountable. And I will also say this, and I know we're out of time. I'll do better in leading the groups this year. There were some people that got in a group that maybe multiple people in the group fell off and they were the only one left in the group. And I never helped them get repaired. I'll do better this year, I promise. about leading this thing a little better. And if people fall off, I'll check back in regularly like I wasn't last year. And if we need to just kind of regroup some things to where everybody's got somebody that's actually helping hold them accountable, we're going to do that. I'll do better. You got something?
If there's somebody that wants to follow the reading plan, like you want to be in the Word of God where we are in the class, but you don't want to do the commentary, you don't want to follow this particular book, let me know ASAP because I'll type up the plan. That way you know where we're at in the Bible.
Right. So, okay, that's what we're doing. We got to sow the word, and it's got to be in first, right? Yes, ma'am.
In the text, you guys said that we're supposed to start tomorrow.
Yes.
How do we know whose group we're in?
I'll text everybody later tonight. So if you want in a group, let us know by later today because I'm going to put the groups together, and then I'll text the group and say, hey, this is your group, and then you can set a separate group up without Paige and I in it. Yes, ma'am.
Is it still okay to be in a group if you're doing anything?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, not.
I know you, an account, not doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Just let your group know, hey, I'm doing a different plan. This is what I'm reading, but you're still letting them know, you know, daily or every other day that, hey, I've been reading. It's just something to hold you accountable, right? So it's more than just reading. If you're only reading, you're only planting, right? If all we're doing is reading, you're only planting. You've got to cultivate the ground, right? You've got to take care of the plant once it starts to come up. Right? You gotta do this thing to fruition, or it's never gonna be like it needs to be. So, we're gonna prepare, we're gonna plant, and we're gonna pray, right? And so, the only other thing that I would encourage the class, and I know we're over time as far as this year, and you can do with it what you want, I would personally love to see more of Passpoint represented on Wednesday nights for prayer. We get together after Wednesday night service, to pray and as a church body, and it's really cool to get together and pray. And so I would love to see more people there if you can. So anyway, let's pray and we'll get out of here. If you got any questions about the plan, let us know. If you want to look at the book, it's right there. So anyway, text us if you want in because we've got to get the group set up. Father, I love you. I thank you for today. Thank you for being good to us. Lord, I pray that you would just really convict our hearts. I pray that we would be like Josiah and not just do the right things, but be broken by the truth of the word and know that if we're not getting the word into other people's lives, into our own life first, you know, cleaning up the temple first, then we're never going to get anything accomplished, Lord. I pray for the Passpoint class as we go into this new year that we would be strong in the Lord, that we would be faithful to you more than anything else, Lord, and that you would grow us in ways that you never could have seen possible. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just change us from the inside out. Be with Pastor Brian as he just lays out the vision for the church today, that you would just get the glory for all that. Lord, I pray that, you know, you sit on the throne and that we don't. In Christ's name, amen.